Well, good morning to you this morning. Thank you for being with us today as we gather for our Sunday school hour. Had an opportunity to see Brother Billy yesterday at a funeral. He's doing well. I think he might be kind of chomping at the bit a little bit. Kind of ready to get back with his congregation. But he needs the rest to get ready for the next year that the Lord's got him set here for service to him. So, but I do thank you much for being with us today. They said Brother Gary is a little under the weather this morning, so we need to remember him in prayer and appreciate those of his class being in with us this morning. We're going to be, if you go ahead and turn to 1 Samuel, chapter number 6. We'll be looking at some things there. Look at your bulletin and be updated on those things. It's going to be taking place in the near future here at Benson Grove. We'll have Brother Don Anderson with us today, and if you've never heard him, you'll be pleased. He's a good man of the Word of God. So I'm sure the Lord will use him to bring a good message for us today. Continue to remember brothers Timmy and Lynn and the loss of their son Tim, and then many others that we need to remember in prayer this morning. Brother Don is still having trouble with his back. Just can't seem to get it straightened out. So, going again this week and see if they can figure out what's going on with that. A lot of us have needs, but we've got a great God who meet those needs. So, bow with us in just a word of prayer, and then we'll go and look together at 1 Samuel. Lord, again today with thankful hearts, because of your marvelous grace, we have an opportunity to assemble here in thy house again today. Lord, if it were not for your blessings, not a single one of us would be here. You saw fit, Lord, to watch over us and give us the ability to rise this morning and gather our thoughts and our dress together today that we might come and be in your presence. And Lord, we'd ask that you would come and meet with us here today. Lord, I'd ask you that you'd help me through your precious Holy Spirit to rightly divide your precious word. There is absolutely no ability, as we've said so many times, within ourselves. There's no ability in me to comprehend the things that's in this precious word without the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We cannot know the truths of your word without the guidance of the Spirit. And Lord, we thank you that you loved us enough that you're willing to send your precious Son that we through him might be saved. We're also thankful, Lord, for the word of God that you have given us to direct our paths and our walk in this life. As an individual and as a body of believers in Benson Grove Baptist Church or whatever church we might be worshiping in. But Lord, you also showed us in your precious word that there's a way that it's to be done. And we'd ask, Lord, that you, by your Holy Spirit, would keep us in your will as we do your work, that you might be glorified and that we might be humbled. Thank you again for your saving grace. Thank you, Lord, for each one who's present. Thank you for those who are listening in. And help us, Lord, to be blessed by your word today. In the name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. Now, I was talking to Jude yesterday, and the same scriptures that we looked at last Sunday, we're going to look at again this Sunday. I said, I know they're going to get tired of me after a while. And I said, but I just thought of something. I said, we're fixing to elect new officers and teachers, so if you don't get rid of me, you'll have an opportunity in a few days, okay? So, but as we finished last Sunday, I read a verse to you. I'm going to read that verse to you again. And then I want us to go back, and I want you to look at some things with me. You're going to need to turn to Jeremiah, the 6th chapter, and Jeremiah, the 18th chapter. Just go ahead and turn there and put something there so you can turn. But we're going to begin now in 2 Samuel, chapter number 6. And we're going to begin again with verse number 1. But I want to read one verse to you before that's farther into these scriptures. And then we'll come back and start with number 1. In chapter number 6 and verse number 8. And David was displeased. Now let that soak in just a minute. And David was displeased because the Lord made a breach upon Uzziah. Now, that's what got my attention when I began to look at that verse and think about it for just a moment. You and I better be very careful about how we're displeased with what God's doing. And we better be looking at what we're doing that has displeased God and caused Him to do what He did. So with that thought in mind, I want us to look back. And I want us to go all the way back to chapter number 6 and verse number 1. And I want you to look at something together. You know, Brother Billy's on his sabbatical, and we hope and pray that he's trying to rest and try to kind of get his mind off of trying to keep us all straight. I'll just put it in everyday language. And to keep his church looked after and minister to us as his flock here at Benson Grove. But you know, he's a man just like we all are. And you can get worn out. And I believe that he needed this, and I think this is a thing that's in God's timing. Because he just needed to sit back and rest and just focus on what the Lord would have him to do as the shepherd of this flock. Now, let's look for just a moment and see why that is. You know, it's very easy for the things of the world to creep in. And we need to be on guard, and I mean on guard, especially in the day that we live in now. Now, it says, and again in verse number 1, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. Now, okay, we're in 1 Samuel chapter number 6, verse number 1. I'm sorry, man. I think I need a rest too. Thank y'all for keeping me straight. In chapter 2 and verse, 2 Samuel, chapter 6 and verse number 1. Okay? So now David has gathered together, and he's gathered together how many? 30,000, and they are what kind of men? They're chosen. Okay? Now, He has gathered those together for a purpose and for a reason. Now, we are a body of believers that God has brought together and put under our shepherd of this flock, Brother Billy. But he cannot do the work of God by himself. And we've got a staff, but we also have the deacons. And those, the staff and the deacons and Brother Billy work together for the betterment of this, the flock of Benson Grove Baptist Church. So now here is David that has drawn, he's brought his help together, so to speak, and he's going to do something. And what's he going to do? He's going in to get the Ark of the Covenant. And it says, David rode and went with all the people that were with him to Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the what? The Ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord, of the host that dwelleth between the cherubim. Now, who dwells between the cherubims? Okay. Now, where was the nation of Israel's blessings? Where did they come from? Where was it that the nation of Israel could always meet God? Their blessings flowed by the Ark of the Covenant. That's where they obtain their blessings. Well, where do you and I obtain our blessings? The Word of God through the Holy Spirit of God. You know, it seemed like I've gone a long way from the subject that I started with when we look at the work of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament versus the way it works in the New Testament. But there's so many things that you see in the process. So now, David, see, for a long time now, the Ark of the Covenant has not been in the city of Jerusalem. It's not been in a place now where David has made that it might be placed. It's not been in their presence. And they have missed the blessings of the covenant because that's where the blessings come from, through God. Now, they have realized that they need the Ark of the Covenant. If this church is going to be blessed, we need the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God. Okay? Remember, we're doing a comparison here. So what is David doing? He's going to get the Ark of the Covenant. He's got a crowd with him to go get the Ark of the Covenant. And I want you to notice now in verse number 3, what he says. And the key words in this is the first two words in it. And they. Not David by himself, but they that were accompanying David have joined in this process. So all are guilty in this process of obtaining the ark. They've been to Benadad's house where the ark was, and now they're in the process of bringing it home, as far as they're concerned, bringing it back to Jerusalem. And they, all of them in agreement. And they do what? And they set the ark of the God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Benadad to give me and Uzziah. And here's the two priest's sons. They are driving that new cart as it's pulled along. Now, is that the way God told the nation of Israel to move the Ark of the Covenant? How did God say move the Ark of the Covenant? Remember, as we talked about how it was set up, and it had the golden rings on each side of the Ark of the Covenant, and the gold-laden staves were put into it, and you had four priests that picked the Ark of the Covenant up and moved it to wherever it was going. Well, I don't know what David's doing. He must be thinking back to when the Philistines decided they was going to move it. They set it on a new cart and when they stole it, so to speak. It brought judgment to the Philistines. But it goes deeper than that when it comes to somebody supposed to know better. Can I say that? We as a body believer here, we know better and do things like the world does it. I hope we do. If we don't, we better go to studying and reading and asking the Holy Spirit to guide in a hurry. So they put that thing on the cart. And like we said last Sunday, they're carrying it alone. Now, David goes before it in verse number 5, and they're doing all their playing with their instruments and their carryings on as the Ark of the Covenant comes along. And then we know that in the process of that, that they hit a little rough spot in the threshold, and the Ark of the Covenant rocked, and he touched its support to support it. And what happened to him? He died. Why did he die? He touched it. What had God said about the Ark of the Covenant? He said, don't look on it and don't touch it. So he disobeyed. Now, our actions in Benson Grove Baptist Church can affect a whole lot of people. And our actions could even come to the point that rather than the opportunity to present Christ and draw them, let the Holy Spirit draw them to the saving grace of Christ, we do something to turn them away. And they die in their sins. Sometimes we don't look at this like we need to look at it and think about how important it is as to what we do here as a body of believers. But now, I wanted you to notice that it generated something in verse number 7, and the anger of the Lord was what? Kindled. God was already angry. Why? Because they had the thing on the cart. They was already in disobedience. And the thing of it is that in the Ark of the Covenant is from whence the blessings come from. So all they want to do is get it back and enjoy the blessings. But it said the way they were doing it, not only was God angry, but his anger was kindled. And then it brought judgment. And the thing of it is, now we looked at verse number 8. And David was displeased. Who's he displeased at? He displeased at God. If we as an individual know the Word of God, know what God says, and know how we're supposed to live our lives as an individual or as a church body, and we go contrary to the will of God, he's going to do what? He's going to chastise us or he's going to judge us. And then we get mad. Whose fault is it anyway? Is it God's fault or is it our fault? Do it like God said, do it, and you'll be a whole lot better off. Now, I want you to go with me to Jeremiah for just a moment. And think about this as we go through it. We'll point out just a few little words in the verse. That's the reason I said read every one and read it slow. I'm glad it's not two Jeremiahs. I'd have you all in the wrong place. So in Jeremiah chapter number 6 and verse number 16. Thus saith the Lord. Now, I want you to remember who's saying what to whom, okay? So now, who's doing the talking here? The Lord's doing the talking. And I'll tell you who better be doing the listening. We better be doing the listening. And what's the first thing he says in this verse? Stand. What in the world would he say? The first thing he says, stand. Sometimes he says, stand and be still and do what? And listen. Now, look at this. Stand ye in the ways. And see. First of all, you're going to stand. Secondly, you're going to see there's ways in front of you. In other words, there's paths that you travel in front of you. And it says, I want you to stand still and I want you to look at all those. And I want you to see that all those ways are not the ways you need to go. There's a specific set of ways that you need to go. And he says, I want you to stand still in all these ways that set before you. And he says, I want you to see something. And what do I want you to see? I want you to see, and not only do I want you to see, I want you to ask for something. He says, I want you to see the way, and I want you to ask for the what? For the old path. If we go back and look where David's at right now, does he need a cart? Or does he need four priests with the staves on their shoulders? Which way do you think David would be more blessed and in better shape? He's trying to bring something back to Jerusalem. He's trying to bring something back that carries the power and authority and the blessings of God. But he's trying to do it the modern way. He's trying to do it like the Philistines did. He's trying to do it the worldly way. And the worldly way will get you in trouble every single solitary time. Now, let's read on. He said, ask for the old paths. Where is the what? The good single or pool, next word. Way. Singular. There is only one way. So he says, now, you asked of the old paths, where is the good way? And then when he shows you the good way, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to walk therein. And then he says, you'll find what if you do? You'll find rest for your soul. But they said, we will not walk therein. We've got a lot of churches like that today. They're just not going to walk in the path that God set before. We've got a better idea. We've got a more modern and sophisticated way. This old religion is old and outdone. We need to modernize everything. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. There is only one way. It's the old way that God set forth in the beginning. And you're going to do it God's way, or you're going to suffer the consequences of it. We as a body of believers gathered together here, called in service to do God's work, are going to do it God's way, or we're going to suffer consequences of it because He's not going to bless us. He said, also I have set watchmen over you, saying, hearken unto the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. He said, I've sent something for you that sounds loud and clear. And he says, you hearken to that loud and clear sign that you hear, and things will go well with you. But they said, what? We will not hear. Who is the trumpet of God for this church? The Holy Spirit sounds, and we are supposed to do what? We are supposed to adhere and listen to the Holy Spirit and let it direct this body of believers. And I hope we never come to the point here that we says, we will not hear. Flip over to the 18th chapter. Let's see where we need to go to. Let's go on to verse number 15, I reckon. Jeremiah 18, chapter, verse number 15. Because my people, now I want you to notice it says who? My people. Who is he talking to? He's talking to the nation of Israel. He's talking to my people. Well, in this church age that we live in, if he's talking to church, who's he talking to? He's talking to his people. He's talking to you and I. Those have been saved by the marvelous grace of God. He's talking to us. And here he says, because my people have done what? They forgot me. I can do it on my own. I'm going to put my foot in my mouth. This is a sacred place up here. We don't need flashing lights and strobe lights and all that mess in that pulpit. What we need in that pulpit is a man of God standing right there with enough light to see the Word of God so he can read the Word of God to us. And we need, if we're going to have a light or focus on anything at all in that pulpit, it hadn't ought to be on the man standing here preaching, but it ought to be on the cross back yonder behind the man that's preaching. And that man that's preaching at this pulpit better be preaching what that cross right yonder stands for. And then that tells us that we've not forgotten God, and He will bless us because we've not forgotten Him. He says, they have forgotten me. They have burned incense to what? Now, what does that tell us? They are still doing what? They're worshiping, but they're worshiping in their own way, and God says that's what? That's vanity. It's vanity. And I want you to look at the next phrases in this verse. Because of how they're worshiping and because of what they are doing, there has something come out of that. And the rest of this verse, and they have caused them to do what? To stumble in their ways. In their ways from what? From the ancient past, to walk in paths in a way not cast up. Now that's important when you look at the last phrase in that verse too. Now, He has caused them to walk in paths. And he sent them down roads, so to speak. And those roads have not been cast up. They've not been cleared from all those predators that come in from the side. They've left themselves walking those other paths through the things of the world that it might come in and hinder their walk. He says, we walk in the path that has been prepared and cast up by the Word of God. And when we walk down those paths, they're casted on the sides and they're protective on the sides. It's like walking down a path with walls on the side to protect us from the things of Satan and the things of the world, that we might walk straight on that path and concentrate on where we're going as we walk that path. Now let's go back to Samuel again. And let's see if we can find something here. Verse number 9, 2 Samuel chapter 6. And David was afraid of the Lord that day. All of a sudden, all the realization of David and all his dealings with his Lord, he began to rehearse those in his mind, and he sees now what he's done, and it brings what to his heart? It brings fear to his heart. I've got myself in a mess. I've got the Ark of the Covenant sitting here on a cart, and I'm taking this thing toward my house. I'm afraid to go any farther. So what does he do? He said he's afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? Where did I say you received your blessings from? How in the world are the blessings of God going to come to me in what I'm doing here? So what does he do? Well, let's see what he does. So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Abedom the Gittite. So now the Ark of the Covenant goes where? Not to David, but it goes somewhere else. Now, if you think that there's not something we can see in this, I want you to look at the next phrase. And the Ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obededon the Gittite. How long? 3 months. And the Lord did what? Whose house did he bless? Did he bless David's house? Or did he bless the house the Ark of the Covenant's in? It said he blessed not only him, but he blessed all his what? All his household. Now listen. God says, okay, David, you don't want to do it the right way, so I'll just go on down the road and visit another church that will receive me like I'm supposed to be received and worship me like I'm supposed to be worshiped and listen to the commandments that I command thee and do those things that I command me. In the Ark of the Covenant is the tablet with the Ten Commandments on it. We talk about past. There are Ten Commandments in there. When we look at God's Word, there is different paths that we go down for different subjects. But we still study them, beginning with the Word of God, and beginning with Christ and what he's done, and beginning with the work of the Holy Spirit. And we go down. We know that number one is, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. That is the Word of God. And that Christ was buried and he resurrected the third day. That is our foundation. That's what we base our salvation on. But then also we have other paths that we go down and we look at what do we think about baptism. And we go down that path and study that. But it's a path that's directed and led by God. We go down the path of giving and tithing and we study that. And we see what God's Word says about that. And all these things, we walk down those paths to study those subjects. But it comes back that it all comes through Jesus Christ and his Word. And we focus on that. And there are the ancient paths that we walk down because they're proven paths given by God. And that's the paths we better stay on. Now, David's over here for 3 months trying to get his act back together, put it in plain English. He's trying to get his act back together. But what happens? My time seems to be gone. What happens for 3 months? The blessings that he would have obtained, somebody else got them, didn't he? Abedom and his family got them, didn't he? You think about this, church. What have we better stay focused on if we won't receive the blessings of God? And if we can't focus on him and listen to him and walk in his path, he'll move on down to another congregation that will. And he'll leave us here struggling. Now, and he said, it was told King David, and we heard it, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. Because, notice, of the ark of God. So David went and brought the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with what? With gladness. With gladness. And it was so that when they, I want you to notice this. If you don't remember anything else, you better remember this. And when they had bared the ark of the Lord and had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatness. When what? When they. Who's got the Ark of the Covenant now? It ain't riding on no cart. It's got the staffs run through the rings, sitting on the shoulders of 4 chosen men, and they're carrying the Ark to its location. And what does it do? It brings joy, and it brings happiness, and it brings blessings. And immediately David says, it's time to offer sacrifice and offerings to our Lord like he has commanded. He can turn us around and put us on the right path. David missed 3 months of blessings, and they went somewhere else because he would not adhere to the word of God and stay on the old ancient path and do it God's way. Do it God's way. If we at Benson Grove Baptist Church this morning want to be blessed, we better do it God's way. Second time, verse number 17. I got a minute. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place. Do you see anything in that particular word that I've just said? His place. God is alive, folks. He's not a thing. He's not an it. He's a person. And this ark represents the person of God. And he brought it into his place. And he brought it in the midst of what? The tabernacle. The center of our focus here has got to be Christ. Put it in the center of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. He got his act together. The members of Benson Grove Baptist Church, God bless to build this church. And we better set God in the center of it if we want God's blessings. And we better stay on the old ancient path. That's the end of the lesson today. God bless you and thank you for listening.